extended, amplified type of introduction. The topic today, as mentioned, has to do with Masorah. In the official printing of the advertisements for the Kollel, it says the impact of Masorah. Actually, it's hard to define what the impact is, but we'll try to give a few short observations, because that's the limit of this evening's presentation, or shiur, as it's called, which always signals a shiur, signals the beginning of the celebration, the annual celebration of the YU Kollel Mitzvayim here in Chicago. And I will just comment on certain aspects of Masorah, the way I see it, and try to bring it to some direction as to the way we understand what Masorah is. I think, first of all, Bereshus, Morena, Moronim, Rabbonim, where the Rabbonim are here, the president of Yeshiva University, Dr. Richard Joel, who has honored us with his presence here today, and many others in the community, ladies and gentlemen. Where do we go for a source about Masorah? And what does the word Masorah mean? The general translation is tradition, passing over some type of idea, concept, way of life from one generation to another. That's basically what the word Mosar means, to pass over or to give over. That's that concept. Where do we find that? A primary source. You look in the Siddur, you have printed from the Mishnayos, the Pirkei Avos, the first Perek of Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai, Umesoro Yeshua. He handed it over literally, whatever that means, to Yeshua, then Yeshua to the Zekanim, to the elders, Zekanim to the Nevi'im, to the prophets, and later on it goes into Pirkei Avos in more detail to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, to what we call the men of the great synagogue, the great conference at the time of Ezra Sefer, at the beginning of the era of the Bayis Sheni of the second Beis Hamikdash after the Golus Bowl. So how do we understand that, this transmission of Torah? In fact, Rashi makes one remark and says that why was it only given over to Yeshua? Why, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu way is described in the Talmudic sources, and you see that from the Chumash too, there was Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, there was Pinchas, his son, there was Shivim Zekanim, there was an entire Sanhedrin, a group of elders, of learned people, Misnabim B'machna, that even are described that had the gift of prophecy. So why is only Yeshua pointed out? So Rashi's language at the beginning of Pirkei Avos is very explicit, and it refers to a pasuk that we read yesterday in the Torah in Parshas Kisiso. He asked that question, Lo Otzo L'Meisro, he did not want to give it over, Ela L'Mi Shohoya Memis Atzmo Minu'ov Be'ole Achachma. He only wanted to give over the Torah to someone that literally sacrificed himself. It's a very severe language, Memis, almost putting his life online in the tense of Torah. That was Yeshua. And the Konashem Tov Be'olam, he got a great name in the world. Vizer Yeshua, that's Joshua, that's Yeshua. Shenema, Yeshua Nar, Yeshua Ben Nun, Nar Lo Yomish Mitocha Ohel. He was the young man that did not leave the tent of Torah. He was the devoted, particular a disciple, Talmud, of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the way Rashi describes it. However, if we take a look now, when we talk about the Masorah, one of the great sources is the introduction of the Rambam, of Maimonides, to his masterwork, the Mishneh Torah, which classifies all of the Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebiksav, into one order, one great set of volumes that's supposed to represent all of the Torah that was taught for his time. And he lived at the end of the 12th century of the Common Era. That was the Rambam. Now, in the introduction to that, the first thing that the Rambam does, and here is the actual words, what we call the Kabbalah Satara, and before the introduction of the actual words of the Rambam, there are two in the manuscripts. Not in every set of Rambam are they printed, but the original manuscripts, and especially later the refined Frankel edition of the Rambam, the first statement is Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem Ke'Lelo. He quotes from the Pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, where Avraham Avinu is proclaiming the name of Hashem to the world. And then there's a Pasuk in Tehillim, which is printed in all of the editions of the Rambam, Oz lo evosh ba'biti el kol mitzvasecha. I will not be ashamed when I look at all of your commandments. So what is the significance of this? Now, what I've done in this presentation, I found a wonderful, shir, and it's printed in the Sefer of Rav Rashi, Rav Kahana, Zecheinu Levracha, whom I knew personally. In fact, he gave me that Sefer, which describes Matike Hashmua, those who wrote or who copied, who continued the Messiah, the Shmua. And what is the Shmua referring to? The Torah Shebal Peh. Now the Rambam here has an extensive Hagdama, that introduction. But what does he do in the introduction? And here where he says something a little bit different than what Rashi says, when he talks about Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah Shebiksav, the written Torah, the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law, the explanation of it, he brings the pasuk and the verses. I'm being as concise and short as possible within the framework of this year and our time quotient. But he mentions here the following. He says that although the Afal Pi Shalom Nichtav Torah Shebal Peh, although the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law, was not written down, Lindo Moshe Rabbeinu Kula Bebezdino Leshivim Zakenim. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to all of the 70 elders, the Bezin, like a big Sanhedrin. Velozer, now here the Rambam mentions, contrary to what Rashi, or in contrast to what Rashi says, Elozer Upinchas V'Yeshua Shloshtom Kibru Memoshe. All three of them received this Messiah, this transition, this Torah Shebal Peh from Moshe. But then the Rambam adds something, which will comment later, Yeshua, Shehu Talmido Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua, who is the disciple, the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Torah Shebal Peh, and Vitzivor Aleh. He handed over the Torah Shebal Peh, and the Rambam continues all the way. Now what he does here, in that introduction, the Rambam enumerates 40 generations from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu till the conclusion, the final edition of Talmud Bavli, of the Babylonian Talmud. 40 generations through the age of the prophets, and later on to the age of what we call the Zugos, the pairs of the great Chachomim, who were the heads of the Sanhedrin. One was a Nossi, one was the Av Beis Din. And he goes through all of the generations of Tanoim v'Amoraim, of all of the teachers of Talmud, up to the time of Ravina and Rav Ashi. And then what the Rambam does, he goes backwards. It's like we say in Hebrew, Hofer v'Yosha. He goes with the generations backwards. He starts with Ravina Rav Ashi, and he traces all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, saying that Messiah, that's the Messiah that comes to us all the way from Har Sinai. And of course, to give a shir on the entire Hagdama of the Rambam would be a most extensive, time-consuming thing, but it would be most enlightening. But I'm just pointing that out. What Rav Kahana right? Rav Kana Shapiro, the Rav Rashi Zal writes, so an interesting point. Why does the Rambam have to tell us this introduction? Is he a teacher of history, of generations? After all, the Rambam is a codifier of halacha, of kol ha-Torah kula, of the entire Torah. So why is he giving this whole introduction? And he makes a very important point. He says that's a chiddush of the Rambam. Just like you have to learn all aspects of Torah, whether in different aspects of law, whether it's in the laws of civil law, of ishus, matrimonial law, or the daily conduct of a Jew every day. However, he says that it's essential as part of Torah to know this chain of Maseirah from the beginning all the way what the Rambam describes, from the time of Kabbalah's Torah through the time of the Siyum, of the conclusion of the Talmud Bavli, Ravina, Ravashi. It's not just a historical background, well, you know, the history or so forth. It's part of the very etzem, the part of very significance, what in the language of the Brisker London, it's the Chetz of Torah. It's part of Torah to know that particular tradition as it goes from one generation to the other. Another point that he makes is the following. When it says, Oz, what does the Rambam quote a pasuk at the beginning? Oz lo evesh, I will not be ashamed, be'abiti el kol mitzvosecha, and looking at all of your mitzvos. What does the Rambam mean by that? What is the discussion of that? It's important to understand when people learn Rambam or Maimonides, oftentimes they skip the pasuk that introduce a certain area. Just like the Rambam starts out, or he uses an acrostic at the beginning of the Sefer Hamada, at the very beginning of the laws dealing with theology and belief in Hashem, he has Yud Kei Vav Kei. He has the Shem Hashem there, which implies a rejection of the Aristotelian theory of the world always existed. Rather, it's a Shem Havaya, it's a creation. So every aspect of a pasuk or remez or hint of an acrostic has to be examined within that particular light. So what is the significance? I will not be ashamed to look at all of your Torah. So what the Rambam is trying to emphasize, which is clearly stated, and that Rav Shapiro quotes, and it's a well-known section, strange as it may seem, the founder of Chabad Hasidus, the Baal HaTanya, the Rav Shneur Zalman, who was a great Gaon, who wrote a Shulchan Aruch called the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, as it became known. One of his most extensive and detailed descriptions are in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in the laws of learning Torah. And what does the Baal HaTanya emphasize? There is an obligation. Everybody that learns Torah doesn't just learn one part. He is mechuyev. He is obligated to learn kol haTorah kula, all of the Torah, whether it's directly relevant or practical or not. He has to have that knowledge. So Shapiro is saying that's what the Rambam is saying, because here the Rambam has made into a huge sefer, the sefer Mishnah Torah, which encapsulates, so to speak, all of the Torah, the written and the oral law. So a person should say, I will not be ashamed to look at all of your mitzvahs, all of the Torah. All of the Torah is part of my obligation to become aware of that. Now what is significant is that there is a Seder of Kabbalah, which is printed in the back of the general large Mishnayos, what we call the Yochan Bayez, of one of the Talmidim of Rashi, Reb Simcha Vitri. Reb Simcha Vitri, known as the Machzor Vitri, he has there many, he's quoted many times in the Bali Teshvus and other Rishonim. He has a Seder of Kabbalah which is different than the Rambam, because in his Seder of Kabbalah, the Rambam writes, happened to Devorah HaNaviyah? Devorah the prophetess. What happened to Chulda HaNaviyah? They're not mentioned. They're not mentioned as a Bezdin, which seems to imply that the Meseirah had to be done by a Beis Din that is qualified according to Halacha. And of course, that could arouse a great deal of speculation. It's not even speculation as to the place of Nashim in the order of the Meseirah. There's a different type of Meseirah, what we call Meseirah Se'ein, that's discussed in the Gemara and Psachim, where when it, on the Pasuk of Titash Teres, where it says Shema B'ni Musar Avicha, while Titash Teres Imecha. Listen to the Musar, the rebukes of your father, don't forget the Torah of your mother. So there the Gemara says, Torah Simech refers to the Dinyan of Minig, which is not the subject of this, but sometimes they're interrelated. That's a different type of Meseirah. When it comes to this Meseirah of Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebal Peh, which not only means Meseirah, it means authority. Authority that is delivered through the channels of a Beis Din, of a great rabbinic court. Because every time the Rambam says, Shmuel of Beis Dino, the prophet Samuel and his Beis Din, Yirmiyahu Beis Dino. What's significant, Rav Shapiro points out, doesn't mention Yechezkel HaNavi. Yechezkel HaNavi, one of the great prophets, he's not mentioned at all in the Seder of the Meseirah. So what happened over there? So his remark is based on the Gemara in Bava Basra, the first Perek, that Yechezkel did not write his Sefer. For whatever reason it was, whether it was, of course, he was a Novi in Chutzlarvitz, he was in Bavel, and how come was prophecy, that's a different problem altogether. But the very fact that he did not write his Sefer, as if to point out he was not appointed or given reshus by a Beis Din, by rabbinic authority, a group, to write his Sefer, to write down his Nevuah. That's why the Gemara in Shabbos has difficulty with the Sefer Yechezkel. In fact, there was an approach to that the Sefer Yechezkel should have Geniza, should be hidden away, because it said things which seem to violate or to be contradicted to some things in the Torah, until one of the great Chachamim made drushes and was able to reconcile that. But in the Seder of Kabbalah, Yechezkel HaNavi is not mentioned because it doesn't represent a directive from a rabbinic authority. So what comes out constantly over here, from one generation to each other, you see that there is a great Chacham u'Beis Dino. Now, the question arises, now up to a certain period in what we call in Torah history, and you, when you study the Talmud, you study especially Talmud Bavli, there was a time when there was the original smicha, the direct transition of the power of authority to be a judge, a rabbinic judge in all areas of Torah. You're not only just in explaining things to be like a Rosh Yeshiva, but also to give decisions in particular things that had to do with specific rules where there had to be punishment, there had to be penalties and so forth, what we call knosses. That was up to a certain time, the time of the Amoraim, of the later teachers of Torah, the later generations. After that, they did not have the original smicha. Nevertheless, the chain of Torah continues on the basis of authority and the groups of the Beis Din of the rabbinic court that actually was convened. This is the aspect of the Meseirah that goes all the way from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu right on through the Tanoim Amoraim until the Nesiim of Talmud Bavli. Later on, the Rambam explains what is he doing with his Sefer. He described the historical circumstances of the diaspora. Jews are scattered. We don't have the great sources of the great yeshivas that were in Bavel and the Tkufa of the Gaonim. In the post-Talmudic times, there were two great yeshivas in Sura Pumbedisa and so forth. In fact, he makes a very interesting remark. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, in Tzadik Vav, and also in the first parak of Aveda Zorah, they describe the world. Sheshes Alofim Havi'alma. The world has 6,000 years. Not going into the debate about the age of the earth or so forth, but that's the way the Chazal say. The first 2,000 are Tohu. There was no Torah there. Shnei Alofim Torah, 2,000 Torah. Shnei Alofim Yamos HaMashiach. Actually, following that line of Chazal, we're in the days of Mashiach. It hasn't come yet, but we're in those days, whenever it's going to happen, how you count it. But what's significant is, when does the years of Torah begin? It begins not at Sinai, but it begins, the Gemara quotes, as HaNefesh HaShe'osu B'chorim. That which Avraham Avinu went out and proclaimed, the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. So that's Torah, according to the Chazal, and that's the way the Rambam actually accepts it, because the first statement of a pasuk before that obligation to learn all of the Torah, Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. The Targum Onkelos says, what is Vayikra Shem? Tzalei. He prayed. But according to Rambam, it was the teaching of whatever Torah was existing, however we understand it. So there is what Rav Shapiro describes, the aura of Torah, the light. Called it the aura of Torah that existed until it was codified and given as a tzivui, as a great command in the Har Sinai, both the Torah Shebikshav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what we have, actually, the way that is described. So that is the chain of Torah. So the question could be asked right now, so what happened after Ravina and Rav Asher? What happened after that time, where the Rambam is talking about codifying everything? He's after the era of the Geonim, which had the Messiah, the transmission through authority, and of course explanation, or what we call Hasbara, explaining what the Torah means, the written Torah and the oral law. What happens after that? So the Rambam says he's trying to put together a volume or a group, a corpus juris, a group of laws that would contain all of the Torah, so that after you learned in it, you would know aspects of Kol HaTorah Kula, which goes back to that original point made, that everybody has that obligation. And that's why the Rambam contains laws dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, with Tumah V'Tahara, ritual impurity, purity, everything I can talk about. What happens after that? But there is a Messiah later that doesn't encapsulate directly Kol HaTorah Kula, but for practical reasons. You had the volumes of the Rabbeinu Alfas, of Alfasi from North Africa. That was his place of residence of the Jewish community. There in Fez, Morocco, he codified what we call the Sefer Alfas, which only codifies that which is considered practical halachas. And later on, you have a Messiah that goes on to the Chachmei Ashkenaz, to the people from Germany, the Jewish communities in Germany, or the Rashi era, which was on the Rhine country, and so forth. That's the Tur, the Sefer Tur, which is the Arba Turim, codified laws, which is part of a Messiah. And then you have the commentaries on it. It goes on and on, all the way up to the present time. It goes. In fact, you follow through history. After the Turim, you have the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Masorah. On the Shulchan Aruch, which was authored by great Sephardic Gaon, great Sephardic luminary of Yosef Cairo, you have the comment of the Ramor. Both in the Tur, the Dark Moshe, Rav Moshe Israel's of East Europe, from Krakow, from that center of Torah. And that goes on further and further. So that is part of the existence of the Messiah that goes on. And what are the components of the Messiah? A combination of Torah authority and also Torah direction or psak, or reasoning. Part of Torah learning is not so much the Messiah as an example of extending Talmudic research and learning and examining different things. But when it comes down to what we call the bottom line, what do we do? How do we paskin? We have to look in those rabbinic authorities that came to that psak. It does not mean that it's frozen in time. I once heard an interesting remark from our great Rebbe, and one of them gave a smicha in yeshiva of Yosef Ber Soloveitchik Zal, the Rav. He was once asked in the middle of a shiur, Rebbe, what's the psak? In this case, we were discussing a complicated matter in the Masechta Nida at that time. So he said, answered in Yiddish, which I'll translate, but it has a special flavor. He said, Ich tu durch alle Hashanim. I go through all of the original commentators. Und ich komme zur Hachlotte. I come to a decision. And here's what he said. You have to understand what he meant by it. He's not a revolutionary. He said, Eid the Shulchan Aruch is maskim mit mir. If the Shulchan Aruch agrees with me, good. And they did, ich tu wie ich verstehe. If not, I do the way I understand it. What did he mean? He's rebelling against the Shulchan Aruch? No. He meaning he's following the line of Maseir, but he brings a different nuance into an explanation of that text, which he, as a formidable Talmudic giant, was able to do, which is the Seder. If you look at all Svarim of Shilas and Tshuvas, of responsive from Rishonim and Achronim, most of them do that. They don't just rebel against a particular decision, it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch. They come and go to the source and say it only applies in a certain situation. But there has to be authority behind it, of learning, of massive learning, and also there has to be a sense of Yerushalayim. There's the famous statement, and I'm bringing my words to a conclusion, of Reb Chaim Brisker Zal, the Rav's grandfather, who was a formidable intellect of conceptualizing halacha in different language, which has come down through the yeshivas known as the Brisker Derech. He once had to make a decision, so he didn't make the decision. He said, send a telegram to Reb Yitzchak Elchanan Zal, Reb Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who was the great Rav and Pesach and rabbinic authority of Kovna in Lithuania, and fret and then write in the telegram the Shaila, he should answer, Osir or Mutter? Is it forbidden or Mutter? That's all he wants. He doesn't want to know what we call the Lundus or the extensive Talmudic and rabbinic explanation of that sort. He wanted to know the decision, and he accepted the authority of that Godel. So that's where we have to draw the line between what we might call an academic approach or the very clinical approach. And one, actually, they seem to contradict each other, but they come together when you have respect, when you know when you have to actually apply it in real life. That was the approach that the Brisker of, Reb Chaim Brisker, the Rav's grandfather, once said, because he had different ways of explaining things in a very conceptual manner. I just want to conclude with the following type of statement, incident, which I once saw in a Yiddish Sefer, from a Yiddish writer, Gershon Bader, years ago, when I recall it. At one time, the Rav of Krakow was the son of the Chassam Sefer, Reb Shimon Sefer. He was also a great Rav. His brother was the Chassam Sefer, Avraham Shmuel Binyamin Sefer, who inherited the position of the rabbinate and yeshiva in Presburg, famous yeshiva in Central Europe, of Central European Jewry, of Hungarian Jewry, and so forth. They were not Hasidic, they were Misnagdim. So Reb Shimon Sefer was the Rav of Krakow. In Krakow, there was a Rav there, supposedly someone had learned in the yeshiva that Reb Shimon Sefer became a Reform rabbi in Europe, in Krakow. And when Reb Shimon Sefer once spoke out against him, this fellow came. He came out of the Chassam Sefer's yeshiva, and he said to Reb Shimon Sefer the following: "Look," he says, and the way the author writes about it in Yiddish, "Wir haben beide gelernt bei der Taten. We both learned by your father, the Chassam Sefer. So why do you criticize me?" So he says, "The difference is the following." There's a difference between learning in the yeshiva and being a Talmud of the yeshiva. Ihr habt gelernt bei meinen Taten. You learned under my father, under the Chassam Sefer, but you're not a Talmud. You are not a student. You are not qualified to pasker to give rulings on Jewish law. That's the point. So Messiah involves a tremendous responsibility of the what we would call the learning in its most complicated manner, in the most intellectual manner, but at the same time, with that grasp of that overwhelming amount of knowledge, you have to come to a decision. And that decision is done by someone who has, that who really has, it's become a real Talmud of his Rebbe. That's the chain of tradition, that's the chain of the Messiah, and that's what the aspect of this particular discussion is. I've omitted many different things, but I think it's remarkable to remember that, because that's what I felt when I was in yeshiva. I felt I was sitting at the feet of Gedolim, of great rabbinic luminaries, whether it was Rav Soloveitchik Zal, or Rav Shatzke Zal Lomjerov, or Rav Palei, who was a Talmud of Issa Zalman Meltzer, and many of the other Rosh Yeshivas whom I knew and had the discussion with. This was the great aspect of rabbinic learning. It was not only something that was generally conceptual, but it was a Messiah of Torah that received, and they received it from their Rabbeim. And hopefully the Kollel, what we call the Wahyu Kollel here in Chicago, represents that great chain of Messiah. Regardless of those who seem to be opposed with certain ideas, but that's the type of school, that's the type of learning. Let us hope and pray that this dinner is a representation of the great Yashikayach, the great example of supporting learning Torah without any limits, and also passing it on to the next generation. That's the power of Torah, and that's the Messiah, that Hashem should help us continue that Messiah at Beer's Girl Tzedek, B'meir B'Yomeinu, Amen. Okay.
Otherwise, you can go through the hallway.